Blog Talk Radio.
Area. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another great takeover type podcast for the 319. The Blaine Uncle Show. This is your boy Ari, the Guido Tito, taking over once again. I am here live on a cold night in Tallahassee, Florida, very late, doing a late show. Sorry for the crazy schedule lately. Sorry for being solo. I'm working on getting guests. I'm doing big things behind the scene. I know I keep saying it. This kind of stuff takes time when, you know, you have other stuff in your life. Is the only thing. It will be sooner or later, but right now it's not. I apologize. Mr. Andrew Meredith is not on the show tonight. So much to talk about, so little time. I do have my 45-minute time limit. I set for myself, more than anybody. But so much to talk about in the fight world, and we all know lately, for a while there, I fell off on loving the sport of fighting. A few fighters and just a year in fighting brought me back. And I hope it brought a lot of fans back as it brought me back. A lot happened since the last show. A lot. We had a heavyweight in boxing. Looked pretty sluggish and then hit a guy so hard that pretty much exploded. You know, he's back on top. Mr. Deontay Wilder is a formidable heavyweight that people, once again, are touting as a star. And we got a WWE-type treatment with Tyson Fury the Clown after the fight. I'll touch on that tonight. We had King McGregor and the McGregor Show, McGregor Fighting Championships, with his, I believe, for the historical RDA fight where he will be going up to fight for the lightweight championship of the world. So much to talk about there. Some World Series of Fighting news. Their plans on doing tournaments, one-night tournaments. World Series of Fighting is turning back the clock. Can that make them a formidable or at least a watchable entity? Bellator, of course, as usual. I'll say something about Bellator because I love Bellator. Of course, Lori has finally made announcements about fights coming up. We got Simon Marcus fighting Artun Levin for the middleweight title. It's not much of a card other than that. I really wish Lori would have stayed on Spike, and you know, I wish Spike would have put more into it. But you know, I'm glad to see Glory is doing cards, and I really feel like they, as World Series of Fighting kind of did, they were kind of in the dumps. I think Glory should just get organized, get ready, figure out who they want on their roster, who they can afford. K1's doing their thing in China. Glory needs to figure out where they can do their thing and do it. But Artun Levin versus Simon Marcus, great, great middleweight championship fight. We'll see if Artun Levin is truly the great middleweight in Glory, the best. There was kind of a triangle going on for a while. And there's a middleweight tournament, which is all Americans. I know they're trying to really push Americans. Maybe that is a mistake by Glory. We'll see. But it looks like a tournament made for Wayne Barrett to win. And it's kind of that triangle again of Wayne Barrett or Joe Schilling fighting Artun Levin for a middleweight title. We'll see how it goes. And, you know, I love Glory and their championships, but I need to get out there, sign some fresh faces. And it seems like a lot of kickboxers like Kevin Ross and Raymond Daniels who are fighting for belts for an MMA fight, RVR fighting an MMA fight, Jesse Jurgis. A lot of guys are starting to go to MMA. Is that a bad sign for Glory? Tyson Fury versus Wilder super fight. I'll talk about that. That's a crazy joke, by the way. I will also talk about Kane versus Werdum, and of course, You know, Rumble versus Bader in the state of the 205 division. Well, you know what? I'm going to start off with my favorite guy to talk about, and hopefully I can get to all the topics. If I don't, I will be doing another show very soon. But my favorite guy to talk about, Mr. Conor McGregor. They had the official press conference for UFC 197. And make no mistake about it, this was the McGregor show. First off, let me just say Misha Tate, Holly Holm, spice it up a little bit. If this is Holly Holm and what we're going to get post-Ronda, women's MMA is going to die. Nobody wants to hear these two girls talk about how excited they are and how good they think their opponent is and blah, blah, blah. Misha just acts so fake, a hater. She's hot and everything, but it's just the Misha, she's like a keyboard warrior. She talks all this shit on the internet, and at the press conference, she puts on a little voice, and, you know, she's just happy to be there. But she, you know, I'm going to retire title shot over the internet. Go out there and be a badass bitch, Misha. Stop being a little punk. Talk a little bit of shit and hype up this fight. But no, instead for the UFC, as usual, Conor McGregor is, you know, kind of bailing them out. A fight like Cain Velasquez, we're doomed. It's not going to sell a ton, but for an MMA fan, that fight kind of sells itself. We want to see Cain. We're doomed to. We want to see Cain, the guy we thought was going to be Fedor, go in there and, you know, get revenge. See if it was the layoffs. We're doomed. We all know that winning this fight could make him the best heavyweight of all time. We've seen his improvements. It's a heavyweight title fight with the two best heavyweights on the planet. It kind of sells itself. You don't need a ton of shit talking. But in other divisions, you do sometimes need a little bit of that, you know, pizzazz. And Holly Holm and Misha Tate completely don't bring it. And that someone in the press conference said, that could be a main event. It can't be a main event to a pay-per-view because these girls were plain out boring. Conor McGregor was late to the press conference. It was big news. Dana White got his butt hurt a little bit, as usual. But what this press conference showed us once again is Conor McGregor is running the UFC, or at least his events. Dana White said that he would not ever be able to, you know, go up in weight, fight for the lightweight title, and keep this featherweight title. Guess what? Conor McGregor did that. I never remember a time where Dana White has made such an emphatic statement and then totally just, you know, put his head down, tuck his tail between his legs, and let the fighter take over. This is the first fighter who has Dana scrambling and running. And it's kind of sad because I like the bromance between them starting, but it was bound to happen because Conor McGregor right now would outsell Floyd Mayweather if Floyd Mayweather came back to fight. Saying it right now. He's that big of a star. Everybody, everywhere I go, knows who Conor McGregor is. And he came out and he said wild stuff. He said gods recognize gods when he's talking about fighting Jesus in a cage fight. And he went after Dos Anjos. And if people said, you know, I would get more excited for Nick Diaz, Conor McGregor, shit, I would get really excited for that fight just to see how the trash talking would go. You know, that Frankie Edgar deserved it. Conor McGregor completely sold us all in one press conference, and this is the first press conference on like a 4 or 5 press conference tour, by not only trashing Dos Anjos' gym, calling it a bunch of bums, saying he might buy it, calling out Dos Anjos as a man, as a champion, calling him ugly, but also calling him out on not being a true Brazilian, saying that he lives in the United States, saying that his kids are named Bob and Donald, calling out his performance. But the biggest thing was calling out his nationality and saying he was going to go to Brazil and tell the fans that Dos Anjos is not a true champion like Jose Aldo. And it could be true. I mean, the fans are going to get behind Dos Anjos in Brazil because Conor McGregor slaughtered their favorite fighter, one of the top three favorite fighters. But Dos Anjos really isn't a true Brazilian champion. He's an American Brazilian. He's been here long enough. And I know all the Brazilian champions seem to live here, train here. But, you know, I wouldn't want to stay in Brazil either. But the way he called Dos Anjos out on this was so personal. The way he talked about religion when Dos Anjos is so religious was so personal. We're doomed. Dos Anjos' teammate said he would have slapped Conor McGregor. This fight now is even bigger. And we're going to see what Conor McGregor can do throughout this tour to build this fight. The scary thing about this is Dos Anjos is tailor-made to beat Conor McGregor. He's a machine. The guy has been running through everyone. There's not been a style that could beat him. And there's no longer that featherweight Conor McGregor is so much bigger. I'm sure, I know Conor McGregor hits hard, but I'm sure Dos Anjos has faced guys in his career that hit just as hard as Conor McGregor. This is the fight that either makes Conor McGregor a legend or makes him an ordinary man. And was it smart of the UFC to really jump ahead and make this fight? I think Conor demanded it. I think Conor has that much belief in himself, and that's what makes him so spectacular. And that's what really is amazing, because we never saw Anderson trying to jump up and fight Jon Jones, and that's kind of the comparison here. Jon Jones, so much bigger, stronger, such a stylistically, that's the kind of mismatch we might see. But then you look at the tail of the tape, Conor McGregor might be the bigger guy here. I don't think Conor McGregor ever makes a move that's not calculated. And I don't think his team would have took this fight if they didn't see something in Dos Anjos that they thought they could expose. I don't think they would have took risk the Aldo fight with Chad, going against Chad Mendes instead of Frankie Edgar, if they didn't see something in Chad Mendes they could have exposed. And I think they see something in Frankie Edgar that they say, damn, this guy's kind of hard to expose. And I think that's the fight Conor McGregor does not want to fight. Frankie Edgar, he ain't going to get knocked out. He's going to keep coming. And there's no trash talking that's going to really throw him off his game. And he's been through wars with so many people, and he stays on his game. He's always able to grind out those fifth round, fourth round. And Dos Anjos has been a wrecking machine. But if he comes aggressive, if he comes forward, if he comes with a Pettis-type game plan, this Conor McGregor, so spectacular, so much more of a powerhouse than a guy like Pettis, who already just got exposed again, I think has been really just a fraud throughout his UFC run. Can Dos Anjos take Conor McGregor's punches throughout five rounds if he implements the push against the cage, grind it out, get the takedown, but he is going to get hit at some point in this fight. That's what people have to realize. There is going to be exchanges. So I think this fight really could come down to kind of an Anderson Silva Chael Sonnen finish. It could be a domination by Dos Anjos, and at some point Conor McGregor could land that big shot. But Conor McGregor right now is running the UFC. He is running his promotion. Everyone says the UFC never will do co-promotion. They're co-promoting with Conor McGregor. He's calling his shots. When he fights, he calls his shots. Sooner or later, you'll see his teammates filling out most of the undercard. Gunnar Nelson will probably be on this fight somewhere because, you know, Gunnar trains with Conor McGregor. It's just what's going to happen. And the thing people have to realize is UFC should have done this a long time ago. They should have done this with Fedor Emelianenko. Before he signed with Strikeforce, putting Fedor in there with Randy Couture, then putting him in there with Brock, would have been some of the biggest UFC fights of all time. And the UFC decided not to do that because they were afraid of co-promoting. Well, now basically they're stuck in a spot where they are co-promoting. And that's the funny part about this. But Conor McGregor totally owned the press conference today. I think this fight is going to be huge. Other news on the MMA docket. World Series of Fighting, we all know it as number 3, number 4-ish MMA promotion out there. Really struggling to get viewers on NBC Sports. They have an all right lineup. Marlon Moraes, I think, could definitely come into the UFC and beat a guy like Uriah Faber. He has some of the best stand-up ability I've seen at the bantamweight division, and I would love to see his nonstop pressure style going against the great Dominic Cruz, who I will touch on. But World Series of Fighting, they had a one-night tournament that decided that Brian Foster would lose in one night, then win in one night somehow and become a number one against Justin Gaethje, a guy who should be in Bellator. And World Series of Fighting seems like they finally figured it out. They've just kind of been putting on events, signing a few big names like Tyrone Spong here and there, getting a jacked-up welterweight division with a bunch of wrestlers, and Paul Harris, who's just ripping guys' ankles off, and having a few good prospects here and there, but they never made sense. Everyone said, what's World Series mean? What is this promotion doing? Bellator, you know, with the tournaments, now with Scott Coker and the freak shows and Spike TV, they've always seemed to have something. World Series of Fighting never had really much, but just an extra MMA promotion that likes to sign old UFC guys. But now World Series of Fighting has a plan. In 2016, they'll be running. They're going to rewind the MMA landscape and go back to 8-man tournaments. They'll have 12 events this year. And in the 12 events, we don't know how many of these one-night tournaments they will have, but they will be having city tournaments, basically an 8-man tournament where you will become a city champion. And let's break this down to the fan who is freaking out and saying, well, they're going to have 15 champions. No, what they're doing here is World Series of Fighting is not going to keep, because they said they're going to concentrate on their stars. They're not going to keep signing big names because they don't have the money. They're going to bring in local guys whenever they have one of these tournaments in a city like Phoenix, let's just say Phoenix. Let's say out of the 12 events this year, which I do like that they plan out 12 events, and they said they're going to have a better web presence and they're going to build up a whole month towards the events. That's something they definitely need to do. Every promotion, and this is straight up talking to you, Glory, should build up their events with tons of promos. There's so much ways you can promote stuff online. But they're going to have a bigger web presence. I already like some of the stuff they're doing, ranking their fighters on their website. They need to get it a little better. But World Series of Fighting will be having a tournament a couple times a year, one night, 8-man. And it will decide whoever wins that tournament will be the seeded champion. And the real secret behind this is they're going to put a couple local guys in each tournament. And that's going to jack up their live gate, which is money they need. Because one thing that crowds will do is come out and support their fighters. Just put it in Tallahassee, where I live. Put a couple fighters here. Put me in the tournament. Shit. You know, I know at least 30 people that will buy tickets to come see me fight. Think about these fighters, you know, from a smaller, you know, from Phoenix who've been training for a while. You know, going to be on NBC Sports, maybe make the local paper. Fans are going to come out to see these fighters. And then they'll, you know, implement some of their fighters into, it's going to be a cheaper way to entertain fans for the 8-man tournament. And then they'll concentrate on building some bigger events on some of the other cards. And then I think they should throw in some Grand Prix. They talked about it. And have, you know, a couple of their titles up for Grand Prix. Be kind of a tournament league, but not in that Bellator format. Do it different. Have the Grand Prix, have your four fights for your heavyweight Grand Prix on one card. The next event, the next month. You know, you have an 8-man city champion for Phoenix. You know, you slowly build stars, and then the next event, you know, is the lightweight championship, and then the next one, you know, you could have your middleweight championship, but then you have the two Grand Prix finalists fighting on that card, and then the next event, you do another 8-man tournament. You know, you get the California, whatever city, San Jose champion, and then you go to, you know, you have your Grand Prix championship, your Bantamweight championship on the next event, and, you know, have four events throughout the year where you have city. Then the last event of the year, you have the four city champions fight. It's a spectacular idea because when you go back to these cities, then you have a city champion that, you know, the fans can get pumped around. And, you know, you can have a little pride in these tournaments. And you don't always have to have these tournaments mean the winner, you know, is, because of space in Japan, a Grand Prix champion meant really nothing in the grand scheme of things. It was a weird title. And I've always thought that Grand Prix should have a world title on the line. But, you know, World Series of Fighting is doing something new, and I think it could really get them out there and really get them pushing Bellator without having to spend a ton of money. Everybody wants to see a one-night tournament, no matter if it's four or eight men. And I think Bellator should continue to do what they did with Dynamite with Phil Davis. He won his number one contendership in a four-man tournament. Having so many exciting stand-up fighters with the signing of Kevin Ross, a great Muay Thai fighter, you know, then pushing Joe Schilling, Melvin Manhoef. They should definitely do number one contendership four-man tournaments one night through a couple of years, maybe two, you know, maybe have a Grand Prix in there. Tournaments are good for MMA, and that this has to be Bellator's answer, the World Series of Fighting. They have to have a couple four-man tournaments, and they could do theirs maybe twice a year, maybe have one big Grand Prix, but do like they did with Phil Davis. You know, have a four-man middleweight tournament to decide who the hell is going to fight Carvello, because they really don't have a middleweight division. Have Joe Schilling rematch Cato, and have Melvin Manhoef fight a guy like, what's his name? Alessio Sequeira or something like that. And have a number one contendership fight where it would be nonstop action. I think it's a great idea for World Series of Fighting. It doesn't mean they're going to have a bunch of champions. It's just a way to entice fans to watch. And it could blow up in their face or it could do big things. But I think overall, they need to cut some of these guys that could go on and do bigger things like Justin Gaethje. And these guys need to go to Bellator. Some of these guys could definitely go to the UFC. But the UFC is doing healthy business, and I want to see Bellator compete. I want this to be the year of Scott Coker, and I want to see Justin Gaethje fight Josh Thompson, Michael Chandler, or Ill Will Brooks. I would love to see it. Moving on, Dominic Cruz in a dud event for Boston compared to last year and the Chael Sonnen event they had before that, but an event that got saved by a main event that was a 5-round championship classic. Dominic Cruz, great moment. Coming back from 2 or 3 years of injury, both knees screwed up. Fighting TJ Dillashaw, a guy who definitely deserved to be champion, a guy who showed that he has great stand-up ability. He's definitely one of the top bantamweights in the world. I've always thought he's a little overrated. I never thought he would beat Dominic Cruz, but I never thought he would push Dominic Cruz like he did. And for that UFC 135-pound title, it was an absolute war, exactly what Fox Sports needed to kick off the year. Dominic Cruz, honestly, I haven't watched the guy fight a lot in my life. Never been a big fan of 135. TJ Dillashaw, Uriah have been probably the most exciting guys I've seen in that division, and Dominic Cruz showed me there's guys out there like Michael Venom Page, Stephen Thompson, Lyoto Machida with great karate style that are kind of crazy, Michael Vernon Page and Anderson with their head movement. But I don't think there's a guy in any fight sport with a head movement moves. It's not a style where it's Diego Sanchez, where he's running crazy, brawling. It is a beautiful style to watch. This guy could throw 10 punches around, but making a guy like TJ Dillashaw swing and miss on a 5-punch combo and a kick just because you have your hands down and you're moving your head and feet so well, it's just such a beautiful thing to watch. This is a white, small, Roy Jones type thing. Dominic Cruz is one of the most exciting guys to watch in the UFC. And all of a sudden, the bantamweight division, which has been very healthy outside the UFC, if the UFC would get their shit together and start signing people, and they would bring in 1SU champion, Viviano Fernandez, bring in a guy like Dantes from Bellator, bring in Joe Warren, bring in Marlon Moraes. They can have an absolute stacked bantamweight division. But all of a sudden, the bantamweight division now, we have big fights coming up. It was set up to where we would have a huge pay-per-view with Uriah Faber, TJ Dillashaw, if Dillashaw won this fight. Former student of Uriah Faber, leaving him, huge grudge match. I think that fight maybe should still happen and Cruz should defend the belt on the same card and have that be a number one contendership fight because it's such a big fight. But Cruz and Uriah Faber absolutely hate each other. I think Uriah Faber gave Cruz his only loss of his career back in 07. Then Cruz beat him in the UFC. It'll be the next fight. It's going to be absolutely just a great fight. I think anytime Cruz gets in there and defends that belt, it's going to be exciting. We saw what he did against Mizuzaki, and it's scary to think that he was able to go all 5 rounds and win 3 rounds, in my opinion, pretty decisively against a guy like TJ Dillashaw coming off a 3-year layoff. If he was in full form, just imagine what he could do. Dominic Cruz could really end Uriah Faber. And then he has a rematch definitely with TJ Dillashaw on the horizon. And you have guys like Grau out there and a guy like Sterling who was talking a lot of shit that the UFC really needs to re-sign. The bantamweight division is all of a sudden definitely exciting. And who would think the bantamweight division would, and also super fight with Mighty Mouse, maybe in the future. I don't think Mighty Mouse wants any part of that fight since Dominic Cruz already beat him. But bantamweight division right now is smoking the 125-pound division. Stars are finally being made. It took the UFC long enough. And please just let Dominic Cruz stay healthy so we can see him fight Uriah Faber. Hopefully on a pay-per-view coming up soon, maybe 201, 202. And give TJ Dillashaw, you know, give him a fight and then a rematch. I hope it's not the end of Dillashaw, but stop complaining, TJ. It was a war, but you definitely lost, bro. I mean, for anyone who wants to complain, rewatch the fight, really study it, study the fight game. TJ Dillashaw lost the fight. And Cruz, to me, with his mic skills, he reminds me of a small French Shamrock, not style-wise, but just outside the ring. His trash-talking ability, he can actually be a pay-per-view star. Moving on, a couple other fights on the card. Eddie Alvarez bored us all, but was able to beat a shell of a guy people thought would be a star at some point. And Anthony Pettis, just a fight that you put together. I feel bad for the UFC when this happens. You think it's going to be a stud, star fight, Eddie Alvarez almost never in a boring fight against Pettis, you know, stand-up, war-type guy. And it turns out to be a dud. It was a decent MMA fight, but it just wasn't the scrap we expected. Eddie Alvarez gets the win. He's now number 2 in the lightweight division. I would have loved to see maybe a 4-man tournament and have that Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz fight. And then the Eddie Alvarez, RDA fight. But Eddie's definitely in line to fight, the winner of Conor McGregor RDA. And I think he'll get a jump for Nate Diaz if Conor McGregor wins. If Conor McGregor loses, I don't know. Nate Diaz is going to get Conor McGregor eventually. I don't think he even wants to fight RDA. But Eddie Alvarez showed us all that he's not all excitement. He can also be technical. And another non-UFC guy climbing the ladder shows the UFC cannot survive without purchasing other promotions and getting other fighters if their scouting department sucks. Other fights on the card that suck, Travis Brown showed us all that he's scared to take a punch these days. He is way better heavyweight than Matt Mitrione, and Matt Mitrione should not be on a main card on any UFC event. Boring heavyweight fight with a fucked up eye. Travis will see him again in the future, probably getting knocked out. And a good lightweight scrap with Ross Pearson losing to an upcoming good Brazilian. Pretty trash card. Good prelims. Patrick Cote absolutely destroyed Ben Saunders. And all I'm saying, the UFC has been absolutely dead in Canada as far as a live show. You need to get back in game. You need to put Stephen Thompson on that card and Rory McDonald. Rory McDonald versus, eventually after, Lawler figures out the rematch with Condit or GSP, maybe just the comeback. Eventually, we need to see a Lawler versus Rory McDonald rematch. And we also need to see Patrick Cote on that card at 170. I'd like to see him fighting. Somebody's going to come out there and brawl with them. I'm not sure who that would be, but three great welterweights rising in the Canadian ranks. UFC really needs to start concentrating on Canada again. But Cote really stuck out to me on the undercard. UFC Boston, pretty lame event. Also, during the weekend, Deontay Wilder. First off, we had a new IBS champion in boxing, ladies and gentlemen, in Brooklyn. Heavyweight championship fight in 102 years in Brooklyn. Turned out to be Charles Martin versus Glasgow, and turned out to be a knee injury. Charles Martin is now one of the three heavyweight champions in boxing. All I'm saying is, first off, the IBF rankings are trash. The best guys they have available on that ranking would be Joseph Parker and Anthony Joshua. If I'm Anthony Joshua, Joseph Parker, David Haye, any guy out there looking for a big-time fight, also Ortiz, I'm going after that IBF title. I think that's the title Anthony Joshua or David Haye need to grab to get a super fight with Wilder or Tyson Fury. But Deontay Wilder in the main event against Artur Spitska, the Polish fans were all over. Crazy. Spitska came out very awkwardly. It took Wilder a while, as he hasn't seen a lot of southpaws in his career, to really figure out Spitska. But what really this fight showed is a good technical boxer could probably take Wilder apart throughout many of the rounds. But Wilder showed he had a chin. And at any moment, if Wilder really gears up and throws one of those big haymakers, he can knock someone out. If you want to see the difference between a technical, great heavyweight and just a guy who has a huge punch and is a huge athlete, watch Wilder's knockout compared to David Haye. I know it's weaker opponents. I think David Haye is 10 times better heavyweight than Wilder. But Wilder, despite the bad performance throughout the fight, he showed us once in one performance that he could really box against Romain Stiverne. And now again, he showed us that he can knock someone out at any moment. And really, the fireworks came after the fight as Tyson, dumbass Fury, the bum himself, who beat Vladimir Klitschko finally off steroids. He'll probably be back on him and beat him in the rematch. Got in the ring, got in Wilder's face. And ladies and gentlemen, what we saw with this promo, unfortunately, a fight that can't happen right away. But if all the stars align, somehow Wilder beats his next fight, Povetkin, one of the best heavyweights in my opinion, and somehow Fury beats Vladimir Klitschko, we saw a fight that if it's made, Wilder Tyson Fury could be over 800,000 by pay-per-view in the heavyweight division, could be the next big heavyweight rivalry. We saw, really this weekend, the heavyweight division in the spotlight. And in my opinion, I got to give it a passing grade. Good job, boxing. Hopefully this weekend you won't disappoint us. I don't understand why the Ghost is getting another shot at a big name. But Danny, I don't fight anyone but in my career but Lucas Matisse and Amir Khan. And now I'm coasting. Garcia will be fighting. Garcia on Fox. Should be an easy victory. Hopefully the guy fights someone tough soon. The limited time I have left, coming up very shortly, we do have Anthony Rumble Johnson on Fox fighting Ryan Bader. And I got to say, I don't really want to talk about that much. With my last few minutes, I'll talk about it on the next show. But it's a shame that that's where the 205 division is in the UFC. In a new report, Rizin has come out and said that Fedor Emelianenko will be fighting, or they want him to fight, the newly released Wanderlei Silva in a former Pride great super fight. And all I got to say in the closing of the show, first off, Wanderlei Silva, Fedor Emelianenko at the point of their careers, I would love to see Chael Sonnen step up, come finally fight Wanderlei. But at the point of their careers, Wanderlei will be voided up. It's in Japan. This is a super fight that should have happened a long time ago. And the way both these guys stand up and fight, if Fedor doesn't take it to the ground, it will be an absolute war as long as it lasts. If it happens, Wanderlei is going to come in, roided up, 220, looking like the old Wanderlei. I don't know if it will happen right away. We'll probably see Wanderlei in April on Rizin, and Fedor in Russia for Rizin, and then maybe this will happen towards the end of the year. But this would be a huge fight. But Brock Lesnar, first off, get back in MMA. Stop with this wrestling shit. You should have fought Frank Mir for a third time a long time ago. Stop being scared. You're a draw. Everyone wants to see you in MMA, not wrestling. Stop being a pussy. You always talk shit about Fedor. The man is still out there. He's available for a fight. You don't have to sign a long-term deal. All Brock Lesnar has to do right now is sign one big money deal with multiple promotions to co-promote a pay-per-view against Fedor in a fight that the MMA fans need to see. There's too many legendary fights that never happened, going all the way back to like a Mark Coleman, Ken Shamrock, Nick Abbott, Hickson Gracie, for so many people. This is a fight that needs to happen. Randy Couture, Fedor, when it was scheduled, when Randy had so much momentum, Fedor had so much momentum, and it got canceled basically by the UFC's lawsuits. I always said, you know, Pro Cop or Randy would be great for Fedor's next fight, despite Randy's age. Fans want to see other than Wanderlei. Brock Lesnar, fight this fight. Find your ball sack. If anything, you have the advantage. You are going to be able to come in and roid it up. You've always talked shit about Fedor. You got like 60 pounds on the man. Come in, one more fight in your career. It's going to be huge if you do it. And do it for MMA, because we need that fight. MMA fans need one other big fight. And honestly, on the next show, I'll talk about who Bellator is going to push to be their Tito Ortiz of 2016, the Rumble Johnson fight. is Jon Jones going to do? What is the UFC going to do? UFC 200, GSP